Welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with your host, Lori Watson, sex therapist and author of Wanting Sex Again, and my co-host, Dr. Adam Matthews, couples therapist, young and handsome Dr. Adam Matthews.
I don't know if I'd say that.
With a beard tonight.
With a beard, yeah.
You've been camping.
I've been camping.
Tell me about that. And you grow a beard?
Yeah, I mean.
Does your wife like that?
That's what guys do. She likes it more now that,
than when it was scruffy.
Than when it was scruffy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But yeah, you go away camping, come back with a beard.
Yeah.
And simple, easy.
Manly.
Manly.
You're manly.
Manly experience.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so today, I think we're talking about attraction, yes?
Yes.
We've gotten actually several emails about this, about what to do when attraction just isn't there anymore. Which is such a difficult thing because attraction feels so, what's the word I want to use? Maybe base,
essential. Right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like a priority,
to,
like a foundational.
To the sexual relationship. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And attraction is so quick too, mm-hmm. right? Like we judge it maybe in a tenth of a second. When we are, we know we're attracted to. Like, it's just, and it feels very automatic, right? Yeah. And so when that maybe goes or that doesn't feel as automatic as it used to, we call a lot of things into question, right? We call, mm-hmm.
Is that the ball game?
Yeah, is that everything?
And okay, I know what, I've lost my attraction. Does that mean that's it?
That's all. And so we should just walk away because we're no longer attracted to each other, mm-hmm. right? But what would you say to that? Would you say that's true? Do they just end it because they're not attracted to each other?
I would say if the couple was attracted to each other in the beginning, that losing attraction is actually an emotional psychological defense against closeness.
Okay.
That it's a way we stay distant. That it's a psychological setup in our brains. I mean, because people who were once attracted, let's say there's nothing major that changes. Mm. You know, your partner doesn't gain 100 pounds.
Right.
You know, but they just, you know, it's sort of normal aging, normal wear and tear.
Right.
And suddenly you find you're not attracted. I mean, many, many, many times it's more about, actually, though we talk about wanting to be close and intimate, I think we also all have a fear of being too intimate, of being consumed and subsumed by the relationship.
Is that a fear of being vulnerable?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, we want closeness, we want separateness, we want to be intimate, we want our autonomy, and we have needs and fear of both.
Mm.
You know, too much intimacy, we're vulnerable, like you said. I mean, our partner could stop loving us, they could die, they could love someone else. I mean, it's very fearful, and especially to hold sexual desire for the long haul. To feel desire is, I think, such a primitive vulnerability, you know, and so not being attracted to your partner is a way to defend against that.
Like, defend against.
I don't need you.
So it's a safety mechanism, defense mechanism.
Yeah, I think a lot of times I see couples who, especially the couple who nothing's changed, and suddenly what's changed in their heads are their attraction.
So is that a real thing? Is that a real thing that they're experiencing, or is it a false positive, so to speak?
I mean, I think it feels very real.
Yeah.
But is it true?
Yeah.
I don't know that it has to be true. I think that they can experience and feel subjectively attracted to their partner again if they will deeply examine the dynamics of what's happening in their heart and what's happening between them and their partner.
So this is what we would call just couple work, repair work in the relationship.
Yes.
And working on
not
that emotional connection.
Not necessarily sex therapy.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say, is that leans away from what we might think of as traditional talking about sex and,
exactly.
You know,
it's not
procedure.
Like, well,
it's not,
you know,
it's not, you know, style or preference.
Yeah.
It's more relational work.
I think so, too.
But do you think that attraction fluctuates over time with all couples? Like, do you think that, like, as relationships go on, that most couples could expect to feel some wane in attraction every now and again? Is that just a part
and
of
relationships? I mean, you know, right, we're all in love with youth and beauty and fitness, and, you know, we all age.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if we're not overly narcissistic, you know, we can accept the changes in our partner. I mean, I think that the scary thing is when the changes in our partner, right, like Dorian Gray, they're reflecting the fact that we're aging and we're changing. And that becomes unacceptable. And yeah. so then we reject our partner. We're not attracted to them because, you know, being with a person our age or whatever means we're that age.
Yeah.
I remember when I was, my kids were in junior high and I looked around in the meeting room and I'm like, who invited all the grown-ups? You know, it's like, who are That's these right. old people? You know, I mean, I just couldn't see myself as their age. I didn't. And now, of course, you know, much older than that.
That just speaks to me is that we just need to accept reality, right? Mm-hmm. That there's just an acceptance that needs to happen that we're, I mean, let's just put it out there. We're all going to age. We're all going to get older. Things are going to droop. Things are going to sag. Things are going to get, you know, wrinkly. Like there's just, it's going to happen,
uh-huh.
right? And so we're not going to, at some point, our partner is not going to look the same way as they did when we first started our relationship.
And I think, though, some people feel so depressed about that.
Yeah.
They feel so anxious about that. I mean, I think especially men that I talk to, they're so afraid of this sense of, what if I lose attraction to her?
Mm.
I know that, you know, I'm on this radio show and, you know, the one of the hosts just, I don't know if this is true or not, but kind of the act that he plays is, you know, he needs his wife to be fit and taut and, mm. you know, she's got to not gain an ounce and she's, you know, because men, all men just lose attraction if, you know, if their wife isn't fit and young anymore.
He sounds like a stand-up guy.
Yeah, he's a stand-up guy, for sure. Well, he's a stand-up comedian, for sure.
Oh, there you go, okay.
Yeah, but I think that there is, don't you think, though, that when you talk to your male patients, a lot of them are fearful about this, what you said, it's what if I am losing attraction?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is pretty common, especially when, you know, when they first have kids or when they've had multiple kids or just over time, there may be a lot of other issues that have gone on, a lot of other life stress that's just been placed on the couple or one or more of the individuals where, you know, things happen. Life gets stressful. You don't go to the gym as often.
Right.
You know, you start to become less active. You age at the same time as that inactivity starts to mm-hmm. stress. You spend more time at the office or at the job because you have bills to pay.
To the gym as often, I remember when I was a young married that, you know, before I got married, I sort of had my routine. I was single and mm-hmm. I could eat whenever I wanted to. And
yeah.
often after work, I'd go straight to the gym and I wouldn't even think about dinner.
Mm.
And then when I got married, I thought, you know, you have to have dinner time. I mean, I was making like 5-course meals.
Yeah.
I still have those menus
yeah.
from when I was first married. It was like, that's what I thought you did when you were married. You ate all this food. And, you know, and I just remember this sense of, I had to rush home, you know, my own sense of my role and what it took to create a home and a marriage
yeah.
was a lot more time. And I voluntarily gave up some of my autonomy, you know, and that included some of my gym time. And,
yeah.
you know, I did gain a little weight. And it's like, looking back, I think, why didn't I just like keep doing what I was doing? I think it would have been fine, but it was in my own head that I needed to spend more time at home and doing all this stuff to make us a family versus having that autonomy.
So what you're saying there too is that there is a place for taking care of yourself.
Yeah, there really is.
There's a place in that relationship, and that is on each of us as individuals, though,
mm-hmm.
to really find time to not give up our autonomy, to not give up our pouring into ourselves. Self-care. Self-care is what that really sounds like. Would you
yeah,
say
that
that's true?
Yeah, I think so, too. And I mean, my husband would love it if I wore yoga pants every weekend, every single weekend. But I know one guy, a patient, he's like with real disdain says, you know, and my wife, she like wears yoga pants on the weekend as if she doesn't, you know, she doesn't dress up and do up for him. I mean, my husband's theory is if you're more comfortable, there's going to be more sex. So whatever makes you feel comfortable, wear that. But I mean, I think some people, it's not just men, you know, they want their partner to look nice some of the time, maybe not wear those dirty sweats and, you know, take a shower after you go to the gym on Saturday so that you smell good. And
yeah, but that's really, we're really talking about a balance though there, right? Between real life, what does real life look like?
Mm-hmm.
What does real partnership, long-term partnership look like?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always look like whatever we put it up in our mind of getting dolled up to do laundry on a Saturday night, you know, but there is some personal effort into it, personal intentionality behind taking care of yourself and doing that, even if that's not going to always prevent changes from happening But, I mean, there's some reality that has to be...
You know, and some women come out of childbirth, you know, they have no stretch marks, and they're to be envied, you know, and their weight is just perfect afterwards, and they bounce back. And, you know, I know one really beautiful young woman recently who had a child, you know, and she gained just a little bit of weight. It wasn't, but, you know, she was definitely heavier, and, you know, just very carefully with walking and eating sensibly, she lost all the weight. She just looks fantastic. And what was marked to me was her lack of stress over it. Like, I see so many young women who are so uptight about that and so anxious about it that their anxiety probably drives them to eat more.
Yeah.
You know, and this young woman, she just took it all in stride. It was so lovely. And I thought, oh, if only other young women could be that relaxed about the whole process and the changes of their body, and their husbands be that relaxed. Yeah. It would be wonderful.
And I think sometimes, Lori, you want to be careful too, because a lot of times we put that on the woman in the relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That it's her job to remain physically fit and active and not like.
To have a big bear belly.
I was just about to say, nobody finds your beer belly attractive.
And, you know, so many men, I would say, who come in, and they will be out of shape, and they will actually criticize their wives, you know, for minor, you know, out of shapeness or something. And I'm thinking, wow, that is a crazy form of narcissism, right? That says, I can look any way I want, but you better look hot.
Yeah.
And that's just...
And that's what we're talking about there, is that there's a personal ownership to that. That says, I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to take care of doing what I can within reason to work on how I look and what I, you know, putting effort into it. And like, we're not just because we got committed or got married that we're not just going to give up on that part of our relationship. Yeah, we're not just going to let ourselves go.
I heard a pastor say once that when people get married, the women hope that they can change their husbands, and the husbands hope that their wives never change. You know?
Yeah.
And maybe it's some of the physical stuff as well.
Yeah. And so
do you think there's a difference about what women want in their male partner and what men want in their female partner in terms of staying fit and together? Like, is the expectation different these days?
I don't know. I think it might be changing a little bit. I don't know what you've seen. I've seen more couples that are kind of trying to match each other in that area, which is something that I think we would be a tip that we can talk about later on. But I think when we talk about attractiveness, that I think at the core of it, it is somebody that is taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
Right. And that is like putting effort into caring for themselves. I mean, I think it goes beyond just the gym, you know, putting effort into how they dress, that they care about. I think for both men and women, like there's care there that's going on, that you're not just throwing on the sweats to go out on a date, you know, that you're still putting effort into attractiveness too. But do you feel like there's differences there?
You know, I don't know for everybody, but I mean, my husband is really fit right now. He's a swimmer. He lifts weights. He's hot. I mean, really hot.
Yeah.
But he is more hot now than he was the day I married him by a long shot. But I have always been attracted to him. I mean, in times when he was heavy, I was attracted to him then. I mean, he did have a little belly. And I was really attracted to him. I think for me, attraction is different and chemistry is different than just what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was about who he was and, you know, I mean, he's great in many ways. He's really great. And I just think I felt that. I mean, I would have never said when he was out of shape, you know, oh, you know, I think you should get into shape and I'll feel more attracted to you. I definitely wanted him and I definitely wanted sex.
Yeah.
Now when I look at him, I'm just like, geez, man. I mean, I really feel more
way to go, Derek.
Visual. Yeah.
Hey, way to go.
I mean, I really do feel that visual pull, but it wasn't like it was missing for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that would be more typically female. I think for men, they might really miss, because they're more visual, they might really miss the physical makeup of a woman when she maybe loses shape. But I don't think that it was for me that way.
Well, let's come back after the break and talk more about that emotional piece, because I think there's a lot to explore there, because we definitely don't want to make attraction out to be just all about the physical, because that feels like maybe the trap that a lot of people fall in, mm-hmm. that gets really dangerous and gets really where they feeling like there's no hope coming back from this. So maybe let's, what do you think, come back from the break and talk about that?
Sounds great. Okay, you're listening to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. We're talking about attraction today with your host Lori Watson and co-host Dr. Adam Matthews. We'll be right back.
Wanting Sex Again, How to Rediscover Desire and Heal a Sexless Marriage by Certified Sex Therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com and sign up for their next couples retreat weekend hosted by Lori Watson. awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
Okay, we're back with Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with your host, Lori Watson, sex therapist, and co-host, Dr. Adam Matthews, couples therapist. And we're talking today about attraction.
Yeah, and just such a, like we said in the beginning, just so pivotal, so it feels so foundational to our relationships, right? Because a lot of times that's the first thing that kind of drew us in to the relationship in the first place, right?
Sure, I think there's scientific evidence, right? We size up the curve of the body, the molecule arrangement of the face, and we know instantly whether or not we're attracted to that person or not.
Yeah. So when it starts to wane, and as we've been talking about, happens in relationships, especially long-term relationships.
Doesn't it like happen in 15 minutes though? I mean,
it could, yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
Are we like perfect for 15 minutes in our life and then we're not, you know?
And I think that if we really start to kind of break it apart, which like exactly what you're saying, that in 15 seconds, it's the reason why we date. We date to make sure that there's more to this attraction than just the physical, right? Because if that was the case, then who knows where that would lead, right? We'd be breaking up and partnering all over the place, like long-term relationships would have no hope.
Yeah,
right?
I talked to these young people. They were in their 20s. And one of them was like, look it, I want a really super attractive woman. Mm. I mean, I want a unicorn. He's like, I just confess, I'm just looking for the unicorn. You know, she's got to be super, super hot. And one of my sons was like, oh, yeah, she's got to be super, super hot. And he was my younger one. And I'm like, okay, well, what happens, though, if you marry this super, super hot woman and, you know, it's 20 years later and she's gained a few pounds and she's got a few wrinkles and her hair is not as hot. And, you know, what do you feel
what
then?
Do you do?
And I think the one guy, there was a woman there, a young woman, who said, I think I'd kill myself.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I mean, it was this real dread reaction to losing attraction. Because I think in the millennials, getting married or finding a partner has boiled down to this one quality. Mm-hmm. Are you really attractive?
Yeah.
You know, that is like the most important thing. Whereas I think like in my grandmother's age, you know, it's like certainly they wanted to be attracted to their partner. They wanted a partner who was a hard worker, who had a sense of humor, who could raise children, who knew how to save money. I mean, there were a lot of qualities that said, this is what's going to make a great partnership.
Yeah.
But today it's like, are you hot?
Yeah.
And are you the hottest one that I can qualify for?
Yeah, there's even like people are putting numbers to it these days, right? And which I think just is just how ridiculous is that? But I think one of the things I wonder about if we could start to look at attraction just a little bit differently. And I think it's really difficult. And, you know, tell me what you think about this, that when we open it up to the things that you just were talking about, right, to other qualities, to put just as much effort into thinking about the qualities of the people that we want, as well as what we're attracted to.
Sure.
We put a lot of emphasis on the visceral eye reaction. I think that's starting to become true for both men and women. And
I think women, too, are definitely raising the bar in terms of wanting somebody who's really attractive.
Yeah. And so beginning to open that up, that idea of what attraction means, to possibly also include some other qualities that are going to be important to us even when the physical looks might change or fade.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, what about a sense of humor?
Yeah.
I mean, a funny man is really attractive.
Yeah.
And I think that some of the things I notice is people with an erotic quality are attractive.
Mm.
You know, just the deep sense of whether they're erotically alive, that permeates their physique.
Yeah.
You know, there can be people out there really hot who are dead sexually. And to me, as a sex therapist, I can just kind of read that, you know, men and women. It's like, oh yeah, they're not erotically alive. And therefore, I don't think that they're particularly attractive as people.
Yeah.
Whereas I think that, I mean, certainly in my life, there have been men that I thought were very sexy who I wouldn't have picked out of a crowd.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have said, oh, you're handsome.
Right.
But they're sexy because of their sense of humor, you know, their kind of sexual energy, all that. And I think that that's really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are the things that don't have to fade. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's where if we can begin to see those qualities as valuable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder about the kids that you were talking to, if they...
Hopeless,
yeah.
Totally hopeless.
Right. What would be some of the things that they might begin to see as just as valuable as being physically attractive?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really hard to talk these kids into that. Mm. I mean, I'm not sure that that's even possible.
Yeah, they may say that is really old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, sense of humor and ability to work hard. And
yeah.
I'm not sure that that can be, that value can be put on millennials. Maybe they just have to discover it. I think that anybody, when you live with them for a period of time, familiarity, right, is unappealing.
Yeah.
I mean, we see people with greasy hair and throwing up and, you know, on the toilet and coming out of the shower and grungy and
I think most of us have also had the experience where there's somebody that we found attractive that once we got to know them and
where
know
they
their qualities and they suddenly lost attractiveness.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I too, like, have seen really good looking men. And I almost always think in my mind, probably a narcissist. You know, it's like an instant, you know, it's a turnoff. It's like,
that's your therapist radar coming out and spoiling that for you too.
I think it's true that sometimes good-looking people have sort of, like, really good-looking people have, you know, just ridden with their looks. I had this friend whose cousin was a policeman, and he like always gave the pretty girls tickets because he said, you know, sometimes I think that they skated by on their good looks and they just need a reality.
Mm.
And I think sometimes really good looking people, you know, they get extra blessings and extra special treatment based on something that is superficial versus something that they might have earned.
Right.
You know, we all know that we want our children to look nice when we go to school because statistics show that teachers pay more attention to the good looking children.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there is a craziness about that. So I think sometimes, you know, do they develop as much as people? You know, do they have those qualities? And I think it's, you know, in terms of partner choice, let alone who you're living with, you know, you got to look at an array of qualities.
Yeah. So what happens? I think that's, that part is talking about make a good selection.
Sure.
Right. When you're going to get into a partner relationship, you know, hopefully we encourage, you know, millennials, you know, anybody that's not in a long-term relationship yet, think about that. Think about, you know, qualities that
sexy
are going to endure.
Sexy is not necessarily sexual.
That's right.
You know, I mean, that's the other thing, I think. You know, people who are wanting the best-looking partner, I think the fantasy is that if they look great, the sex is going to be great. And I just think, you know, in the dark, it's like their sexual energy that matters.
Yeah.
Are they good lovers? Are they careful? Do they listen?
Yeah.
Are they attentive to the other's body?
Yeah.
You know, can they melt and mold? I mean, that to me is what would make a fantastic sexual partner, not just how they look.
Absolutely. So that's in the beginning of the relationship. What happens when...
No. All the way through.
No, well, I mean, yes.
I mean,
yes,
that
but
to
I mean,
me is what keeps it hot, is sex can be better.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, the clients that I get anyway, they've been in the relationship for 10, 12, 15 years.
Okay.
They've already made their choice.
Yeah.
Right. And they're coming saying, the attraction is going away, right? Mm-hmm. So what do we tell them? How do we give them hope that can come back?
Well, I think that it's a refocus, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the reason we're so attracted in the beginning is really we screen out a lot of negatives.
Yeah.
You know, we do see a flag here and there. We do see qualities about our partner that we don't like, but we don't focus on it. You know, love is blind. Romance is blind.
Yeah.
You know, love has to be blind too. You know, we have to decide, I'm going to focus on the most attractive parts of my partner. Mm. Okay, maybe they have a beer belly.
Yeah.
You know, but they're a kind person and they're a good father and they have beautiful eyes and they kiss great.
Mm.
You know, and they're great in bed.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, so focus on that.
Yeah. That sounds a lot like, to me, like just gratitude. Like of just finding things that you are grateful about of your partner that oftentimes might go overlooked or that you don't think about on a daily basis. I mean, I think part of the difficulty is that we look at each other every day, we see each other every day, but we don't necessarily think about qualities every day because they're not always readily available. They're not right there on the surface.
Yeah.
As much as looks are. So when we narrow that focus to just looks, we narrow attraction just to looks rather than being intentional about thinking through, what am I thankful for about my partner? What am I grateful for? What qualities do they have that I really appreciate?
And being grateful out loud, like you said, with appreciation.
Yes.
It builds a climate of love and hope. And yeah. I mean, I think the honeymoon is over when people stop saying what they appreciate about each other. And I think in terms of a turn on for women, it is so easy. It's like just tell her the things that you do find physically attractive about her and do find mentally attractive. Mm. It's like, you know, there's got to be something about our partner that we find physically and mentally attractive.
Yes.
And saying that out loud, I mean, women are just suckers for that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the billion-dollar industry of a romance novel.
Mm.
It's all about the guy.
Words.
Yeah, words. Telling her, appreciating out loud her beauty, both, you know, inner and outer beauty.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I think men want that too.
Yeah, I do as well. I think men want to know that their wives are still attracted to them.
Oh, absolutely.
And still find them attractive.
And I think men want to know more than women could even imagine that they are sexually attractive.
Yes.
They want to know, like, their parts, you know. Yeah, they really want their parts to be appreciated, guys.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, like that's the best thing, you know. You know, that you think it's the best thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, that to me is, again, goes back to our million-dollar topic that we talk about all the time, or you're actually saying it out loud, you're talking about it, you're talking about what's attractive. And I think attraction, like talking about it in that way, that breeds further attraction, right?
Oh, I think so, too. There's nothing as sexy as somebody who thinks you're sexy.
Yeah, that adds fuel to that attraction fire that can kind of build that way.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I think so, too. Well, you've been listening to Dr. Adam Matthews and sex therapist Lori Watson talk about attraction and how to keep it hot and how to keep yourself feeling that attraction in a committed coupleship. Thank you for listening to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy.
Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.